Welcome to Wine by the Case,
where we uncork legal insights one bottle at a time.
we have to laugh because she's I think on our like thousandth episode, I can't even say it, we can do a whole case.
I think I'll get you there.
All right. So what are we talking about today? What is annoying us in the legal world today?
Well, it's definitely annoying us, but it's annoying a lot of people. Alligator Alcatraz.
Oh, my. What a disgrace. Can I just say, what a disgrace. It's the most ridiculous. First of all, the name is ridiculous. The concept is ridiculous. And let's not even get into the violations of the law coupled with just the humanitarian issues. I mean, yeah. As you can tell, I'm pissed.
Well, and again, I picked this lovely wine from Portugal named Colossal. Because to me, this is a colossal.
It's a colossal fuck up.
Money, effort, and frankly, damn it.
Shit show. Colossal shit show.
That's what I'm really upset about, too. So I definitely need a glass of wine for this because my blood pressure, my just everything goes up on the fact that we keep trying to put more money and effort into environmental issues in the state of Florida, including the very, very important Everglades ecosystem. And instead, on bordering tribal land, on the Everglades, we get this massive
shit show.
Destruction of the environment.
All right, let's start. You can go into the environment. I can't even talk today, Chris. Environment. And I am not even the one drinking wine. The environmental issues. I'm going to go into immigration issues. But how's that wine? Is that a shit show too?
No, this one's actually really good. It is rated 90 by the suckling people.
As Chris is drinking wine, I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah. This is a Portuguese red out of the Lisbon region. And, of course, Portuguese reds are very undervalued because they're inexpensive. This was like $14 at Costco. And I would have paid at least $40 for this.
Shout out to Costco.
Yes.
So it's good?
Again,
on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
It is definitely I would buy again.
So my LA coffee, I give it a 10.
Yeah,
it does me a little
good.
Honor. Now, I look like I've been sleeping at Alligator Alcatraz. I don't know what's going on today and like puffy and everything else. I don't know if the coffee's going to help, but the wine definitely wouldn't.
What? Yeah, you could use some wine. But I drove down near Alligator Alley and saw the Alligator Alcatraz sign.
You did?
Like,
you should have taken a picture. Okay, so
I didn't want the memory.
Okay, so there is a current federal court order saying that they cannot take people there and they can't anymore and they can and they have to remove them and shut it down, but it is being appealed. It's being appealed. Yeah.
But in that 80-something page order, what I really appreciated was I believe it's Judge Kathleen Williams focused.
A little sanity?
Well, she did the environmental issues because she said this has been protected since the 30s. She's going through the decades it was protected. And how back in the 60s, there was a time when somebody wanted to build and they said, no. So why now?
Well, we all know why now.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. I saw from the American Immigration Lawyers
Association. Wait, I didn't read that. Did she get into any, does that order get, because I kind of skimmed it, and does the order get into anything about the humanitarian issues,
it does,
or just stays with the environmental?
It does a bit, saying, you know, the fact that they're in the swamp, the mosquitoes, that, you know, that they are dealing with tents in 110 degree weather. But they said, even if they could change all that, even if they could make the facilities better,
that is a very important part. And like you said, that land out there for people that have not been across Alligator Alley or don't live in Southern Florida, you know, that there are the Everglades, so you have the environmental issues. You also have the issues related to the Indian reservation that's out there and that protected land. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing, neither one of us do immigration law, but I've been seeing.
But I know someone who does.
A lot of posts, and maybe we should have somebody come on and talk to us about immigration, but I've been seeing a lot of posts from various immigration attorneys, and I know a few myself as well. Yeah. And
I'm married one.
Well, that's right.
We don't practice anymore.
We could have him come on and talk about this as well. I think that would be really good. Is he? We can have him jump on now. Is he there? No? Okay. So here's my...
I think it's really important. It's from ALA, the American Association of Immigration Lawyers. They put out a statistic. Now, again, these are not necessarily accurate because we don't have an accurate list of who's there, which is true at all times in immigration. You don't have who's in Chrome the whole time either. They move people around constantly.
Listen, Chrome's not the best place either, but it's now looking like the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes, they move people around.
Right.
Here's the thing. They said that 70% of the population they know of, okay, were asylum seekers. Not violent criminals.
Right, and I saw that statistic as well. The thing that that is really disturbing to me about Alcatraz, Alligator Alcatraz, opposed to, let's say, Chrome, because there's issues with that. The thing that really sticks out is these immigration attorneys are trying to bring to the public's attention that they're in limbo there. So usually when you go in, and once again, I'm not an immigration attorney, you go into Chrome, that is now an immigration case, right? And there is a case number and there is a procedure and following it. The problem
even at Chrome. They can transfer you to Texas in 36 hours.
Right, but what I'm saying is that there is an immigration case, regardless of where they send you, stuff can be filed. What I'm hearing from immigration attorneys, this is a limbo zone because ICE is saying that they don't have an open case because it's a Florida case. And then when the immigration attorneys go to file something, you know, related to it, in state court, because now ICE has said it's Florida issue, Florida doesn't have a case. So they can't even file something with in the immigration court, and nor can they file something in Florida. And then when the attorneys actually try and have a conversation with their client, the problem is they can't go to Alligator, because they've tried, go to Alligator Alcatraz, go in there and have a room. Like normally if your client is incarcerated, you can follow the procedure and you can go in and you can sit down with your client in a secure room where you have attorney-client privilege and all of that. And they don't have the ability to do that. And that is a problem as well.
Chrome didn't have that process necessarily either. You could go and spend 3 hours getting into the place, including having your car searched, trunk and everything, and you'd sit there and they go, oh, he's not here.
Right, I mean, but they had a room, and you could go in.
They had a case.
They could file motions. Yeah. You could do it. They could have moved them, which is a whole other thing I don't think we have enough time to get into, that they are. And then the other thing, and I know they could have always done this, but they weren't doing this. They are dropping these individuals into countries other than the country they came from. And I don't think people are aware of that. Now, with some countries, like Cuba, they won't take the individuals back. But most of the other countries, let's say you're from Mexico, like which we're not going to get into right now, the case where the individual was shipped off to El Salvador, they brought him back. Now they've rearrested him, and they're threatening him to dump him in Africa. And so, you know, I think that if you have, I see an issue, whereas if you have a country that won't take them back, like say Cuba, for instance, then you, to get them out of the country, you have to send them somewhere else. But I don't understand when you have a country like Mexico that will take them back, that you're sending them and dumping them in Africa. That does seem to me to be punitive.
Definitely seems punitive. But again, when I look at the order from the judge in this case. I think she wisely avoided some of the more
political
issues and focused
instead. Although climate control is political, let's...
But again, remember, OSHA has heat standards. So it's not so much that. I mean, you have your heat standards where they cannot go over a certain amount.
Well, Chris, you bring up a very good point because you are the employment whisperer. You bring up a very good point. It's not just simply the people that, you know, have been picked up and placed there. You have people working in these conditions as well.
Yes. Who are working without having some of the same requirements. I know, again, OSHA's been out there. But that doesn't mean between the hours of 10 and 2 that it hasn't gone up to the heat index of 115.
So do you think there's going to be lawsuits? I mean, from the people, I'm not talking the civil rights attorneys that are coming in.
The workers' comp, right. Yeah, but that's again, exclusive remedy, workers' compensation. But the fact that the injunction said dismantle now, I think is the really interesting piece because think of how much of colossal funds were spent putting this together in the rush basis, paying expedite fees. By the way, to some contractors who've been involved in some shady business.
Okay, wait, and it's also my understanding, and I don't know this 100%, but it is my understanding these were no-bid contracts. These contracts were handed out, and as people
in the middle of the night
don't know or may not know that when there's a government contract, or maybe you do, they take various bids. Mm-hmm. From various people, and that's the appropriate way to do it. So it's somewhat fair. I don't know if it's 100% fair, but it's somewhat fair. It's definitely fairer than just handing out to your buddies and your friends these contracts.
But let's go back to the environmental impact. All those trucks and all that equipment had to traverse through protected land.
Yeah.
Causing all sorts of damage. The smoke, all the things that we've been trying to protect for decades, including Governor DeSantis, who, when he first was elected, did a couple of environmentally friendly things to protect the Everglades, and then he turns around and does this.
Yeah. I mean, I think the approach the federal judge took to try to stay out of the politicalness was probably a good one.
March.
But the bottom line is that it is a hot button political issue that we have going on. And I do think that we should have your lovely husband, because we talk about him, and I think having him on here, because I think the next, we should do an episode about a little bit about what is going on from an immigration attorney's understanding to fill us in, because we don't really know, because I do think there is a lot of confusion. For instance, over the weekend, I went out for a couple's dinner to a comedy show, and it got heated because I was saying there has been instances, because they are detaining, and that's different from arresting, U.S. citizens who are refusing because they do not have to show ID. If you are there's no obligation the way a lot of times this is going down. There are certain circumstances where you do have to show ID people. So I'm not advising you not if a police officer asks to see your ID. There are certain circumstances. But there are circumstances that are occurring where U.S. citizens are actually being detained. And that is happening. It is happening. Once again...
There's a difference also between
unlawfully. I need to put the word unlawfully detained in there.
But that's the difference. Border control can detain you for 30 days without any notice to anyone.
Right. U.S. citizens. So, so I think people aren't aware of that, because what you're hearing on the other side is that... no, this is only criminals that are illegally in here. And no, because the rules are applying across the board to the situation. And I think that's being missed. And having Jeremy come and talk about, like, what happens if, and I don't have the answer to this because I don't do immigration and I don't think you do either. Like, if you are stopped you know, randomly by an ICE agent, and you are a U.S. citizen, what rights do you have? What can they do? I think that that's very valuable information to have him on, as well as I think that people aren't realizing either that there has been, forget about crossing the border, I mean, there has been people who, you know, teachers that are going into Canada, and they are being, and I'm not taught, they're being stopped before they enter Canada by the U.S., not re-entering the United States, leaving to go into Canada, and they have stopped, they have put up different points there. And I think that that, you know, having Jeremy, who did immigration law, talk about that, like, what is the right, you know, rights to put that up? Because remember, you know, just as a side thing, if for them to do, let's say, a traffic stop for like a DUI, like these were really big back in the 90s.
Right now, it's broken tailgate.
Right. But the DUI, so they had to publish those. If they were going to do a DUI checkpoint, they used to publish them in the newspaper. I'm not sure where they publish them now. But it had to be published ahead of time that they were doing this. Because then if a criminal defense attorney got into court, it could be viewed as an illegal stop. So I'm wondering how that's crossing over now. And I think we really need to do an episode, because I don't think this is going away overnight.
No, it's definitely not. Even if they dismantle for the environmental purposes, gone into great detail in that order. Why not just move it to the middle of Polk County, Florida, where Grady Judd would probably be happy to have him take a spot in the Green Swamp, which is not protected.
No, he's mad right now. Did you not see
that? He's mad about them taking their
They're poaching his people, and he's pissed off. They're giving him, I think, a $50,000 sign-on bonus, and he's pissed. He went on and was like,
Yeah, remember, I call him the king of Polk County. Yeah.
But I think I heard or read somewhere that DeSantis is planning on building something in northern Florida, probably, if I had to guess, somewhere in the panhandle, you know, which maybe there would be an environmental issue there. Yes. Who the heck knows, depending on where he's planning on building. Once again, a lot of money being spent, and how are those bids going to be? Colossal amount of money, and just not having to just touch upon. We have to, because this has gone viral. The painting of the wall, which is obviously not in Florida, but the painting of the wall black. Can I just say this is absurd to me? And once again, was it $500 million? And it's going to have to be repainted in like 6 to 10 years when it wouldn't have to be painted at all. And it was already, wasn't it already like a rust metal dark? It was a darker color. It wasn't a white wall.
Right.
I mean, what say you about that, Chris?
Again, I say it's a colossal waste of money. I just look at the fact that
you don't think it's stupid. Like, people can't wear gloves. People can't go at night. And do we want to touch upon, since I think it goes with theme, and we're probably going to get a lot of, based on my conversation I had on Saturday night, we're probably going to get some nasty comments, but, do you want to comment? I'm going to let you comment on Newsom and his latest Twitter post.
Oh, my God. Okay. So here's the thing.
Since you're weren't you the literature major?
Yes. I was the English major.
Okay.
So I thought it was brilliant to take the same style, the same words, and use them, and including the exaggerations, including, you know, he's the governor, these sort of things, all caps. Because I loved that his response, that Newsom's response was, if you don't like my imitation, because isn't that the most sincere form of flattery, then talk to the person I'm imitating. I think that was a brilliant way to say, if you want more civil discourse and you're yelling at me about being uncivil, I'm only copying President Trump. And so I thought that was a brilliant way to, you know, I know it's sauce for the goose and sauce for the gander, but to say, you can't criticize me for this level of nonsense if I'm copying you. I mean, it is word for word the same vernacular, the same syntax, the same, the all caps is the easy part, but just the choppy sentences and, you know, Hemingway-esque in a way. But I was terribly amused by it because I thought it was brilliant.
I agree with you. I think it's brilliant. And what's funny is, and I don't know, apparently one of the commentators on Fox News was coming out and saying some comment about how it was, you know, written, I think, by like a first-year college student or a first grader. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact quote. And I just was like, does he not see the similarity? Or does he not, is his head blowing off his body because he has no ability to respond to it? Because it's obviously trolling. It's obviously the same. Yeah. It's obviously making jests.
It's mimicry at its finest.
Right. It's brilliant. I mean, really, yeah. Whoever he hired to do that, the guy needs a raise because I have to tell you, it's brilliant.
My friend said, if she's known that Newsom was hiring for someone to troll Trump,
she would have done it for free. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. No, but I mean, the person who came up with the idea and was able to sell it to him, because it really is, it's a hard thing to swallow for as your brand, or, you know, that you want to come across like that. You know, that's a hard decision to make if that's the road you're going to take. But I do think that taking the road that has been taken previously to combat this Twitter craze on his part hasn't been working. I mean, it's evident. It's not been working. It's not been resonating. So, if anything, this is getting people talking.
It's getting people talking. Newsom is not a perfect person or a perfect candidate. I'm going to say that. But he does run the world's fifth largest economy. The state of California is the world's fifth largest economy. I cannot imagine that our governor in the state of Florida wouldn't love to be able to say that. I mean, they passed Japan, for God's sakes.
So listen, I also like the fact, I think it's so funny they're doing those memes or AI with his six pack. I mean, obviously he's in better shape than Trump and DeSantis, but I just think it's so funny. He's on horses. And he is a good looking man. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure that really pisses off Trump because he's far better looking than Trump ever was on his best day. But I just think
he's got great hair.
He's got great hair, and he's tall, and he's thin, and and I'm sure that's the hair Trump has paid lots of money to try and get. There's no doubt he's got to be jealous of the hair for sure. But so and I think that coupled with the whole South Park thing, which I think he's just, you know. I don't think Trump's a happy camper with the current social media scene going on against him. But what do you want to sum this up with? What's your tidbit of,
I am going to bring you back to the wine for a second, only because this one's a little, this is for, you know, the Newsom thing. It's bold, but it's still pretty smooth. It is. I got to admit, it's a perfect pick for that. And as for Alligator Alcatraz, I get the, you know, it's nice to have catchy names like Death Packs and things like that. But immediately the notion of, I'm putting people into a swamp where there's alligators, so there's this sense that you can get eaten. I just don't think that's appropriate for a democracy or a republic. For a nation that's founded on the notion of due process and freedom. And it just bothered me, just the name of it was like, no.
I agree. So please comment below. Nice things. And don't forget to follow and subscribe. And yeah, cheers. Well, only Chris can do cheers. I can do cheers.
Cheers to a really good Costco wine.
And my illy coffee. Yep. Which is going to cost me more money because of the tariffs. Anyways.